Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. I realize it's probably been many, many months since you've heard my voice in your podcasting apps, and we want to say a massive thank you to anyone that stuck with us through the extended break that we have had. But believe me, Ben and I are excited to be back podcasting in 2023, sharing all the updates from the live streaming industry and any news that we find each week with you guys. This week, Ben and I discuss which platform we'll be streaming on in 2023, as well as all the different platform updates from Twitter, from Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Discord, and even, you haven't heard this name for a while, Tumblr. That's right, Tumblr is dipping their toe into live streaming. We'll also have a little predictions game at the end where both Ben and I ask each other questions about our predictions for 2023. So sit back, relax, enjoy whatever it is you're doing whilst listening along to the Gaming Careers Podcast. Should we just kick it straight off with the poll that we ran? Which platform are you going to be streaming on in 2023? Let's hear your answer, Ben.
Yeah, so, man, this is an interesting one for me right now, personally. I know you ran this poll here on Twitter and got quite a bit, a lot of votes from people. And it seems like, kind of as I would expect, Twitch is still the landslide winner. About 60% people said Twitch is the platform they're picking. 25% said YouTube. A small 2% said Facebook, and then 14% said multiple platforms. So that last bucket is the most interesting one to me this year, Pete, honestly. I've been a Twitch streamer mainly forever. I have played with YouTube a little bit, but I got to say, I feel like I'm leaning a little bit towards multi-streaming this year, especially with stuff like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, and there's so many platforms, and another one we'll touch on here in a little while. So I feel like it's becoming more compelling to do that. Plus, there's less restrictions on it now with Twitch making it so you can stream to TikTok and Instagram without even removing your affiliate contract. So I don't know. I think it's tempting me this year. Pete, what do you think on your side?
I'm curious to ask you, when you say multi-streaming, are you talking about two different desktop platforms? Obviously, Twitch are trying to make sure that you don't do that to the major competitors. But yeah. Is your multiple platforms, are you talking about one vertical as well as one main 16x9?
Yeah, especially because I don't know. I think YouTube is really pushing live streams a lot this year with how they've kind of redesigned the UI a little bit to help it make it easier to find live streams and sort out your content on your page. And I've tested multi-streaming a little bit actually on an alt Twitch account, and it's worked pretty well. A lot of times, like, we'll have one day that Twitch is really big, one day YouTube's really big. I mean, if you can hit all those at the same time, then it's kind of nice. And it may monetize with stuff like Patreon instead. So I don't know. I haven't committed to that yet, but I'm thinking about it. For now, I'm still mainly on Twitch, but it's tempting me more each day personally.
And that's why we have this good balance, right? I'm streaming this podcast weekly on YouTube. You can cover the Twitch side with what you do for your day job as well as personal streams. Mm-hmm. And we don't really need to be testing Facebook because only 1.8% of people voted for Facebook. I was thinking, do I even put Facebook in when this is clearly a two-horse race? I actually think maybe TikTok would have got higher votes than Facebook, but wanted to put it in just to see how many people are in the gaming careers following, at least, streaming to Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook is interesting. One little piece of news I want to put in here. Again, it's been 5 months, guys, since our last show. They killed the Facebook gaming app on the App Store for Android and iOS. Now, this doesn't mean Facebook gaming shut down. That was a big misconception. But they don't have a dedicated gaming app for watching live streams anymore. Instead, you have to go through the Facebook app to watch it. And from what I've seen on the data, like, viewership on Facebook is still going pretty well, but that's not a great sign when the dedicated live streaming app has to be shut down and they're kind of just shoehorning it back into the regular app. It'd be like if Instagram had their own gaming app or something and they shut that down, or TikTok, right? So I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but if we have Facebook streamers in the chat, I'd love to hear if you guys have stuff and have a lot of success on there, or kind of what the future of Facebook is this year.
So let's just talk about the main two frontrunners then, Twitch versus YouTube. Did you expect it to be this far apart in terms of the votes, or did you expect it to be closer, or are you surprised at how close it is? I don't think if we'd run this poll at the start of 2022, YouTube would have had 25% of the votes. So I think these acquisitions and all the improvements that they're making to the platform is having an impact on the people that want to go and stream there, but also the people that want to go and watch streams there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, YouTube has become a much bigger competitor. compared to the Switch with live streaming this year with a lot of the big acquisitions. We haven't seen one in a couple months, interestingly, so I don't know if they're taking a break and maybe we'll pick it back up, or maybe they've kind of hit the spot where they don't think they need to do more acquisitions and they've kind of hit that breaking point where people will start to move over naturally. But YouTube is definitely more competitive. Twitch is still more than double in the votes you have here on your poll, Pete. But I think it's getting closer and closer. And once people start moving over to YouTube without streaming on Twitch at all, just because they want to, that would be the big breaking point, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree. I'd like to see, I mean, it's almost interesting to think about which options I will put down on this poll when I do it next year. Like, will Facebook even be the third of the four options, or will it be TikTok or Twitter, maybe? You know, Elon's talked a lot about how he wants to make it a place for creators and invest in the video and maybe even live on the platform. Talking of Elon, let's jump straight into some of the Twitter updates that we've got. I think the first thing to point out with, he's made literally hundreds of changes and it would be an hour long show just on the Twitter updates, but we're trying to keep this as a focus towards creators and just covering the main bits of news that I think will be interesting to the people watching. The first of which is that he has announced that 1.5 billion accounts that are being sat on but not used are going to be soon opened up. So any usernames that you're praying for, everybody in the chat, please put your hands together for underscore Benjamin Green. Can he get rid of the underscore? I swear to God, if I've just announced this and somebody in this chat ends up getting it instead of you, then I'm deeply sorry, Ben.
It's but a common name, Pete. That's it the is. Struggle.
It's probably the most common surname, English-speaking surname. Well, certainly over in the UK, it's very common.
Yeah, it's very common. So there's a guy on Twitter who's had that account for like 12 years. He hasn't tweeted in 12 years. I'm just hoping that they free up the name, but we'll see. I mean, that'd be nice if they do it. I think he made that one tweet about this and there's been no update since. Granted, there's been a ton of things that he said he's going to do and some have happened, some haven't. So we'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, if you want that Twitter username that somebody from 17 years grabbed from you, you might be able to get it here soon, which would be cool.
I actually found a tool and tweeted out about this tool that you can use to monitor any username on Twitter. And it checks it every day for free. I think you can pay a little bit for it to check it hourly or something like that. But if you're just going after a relatively normal username, checking it daily should be good enough, I think. And then they will email you when that username becomes available. Now, I don't think a single username has been unlocked yet by Elon, but it's worth using this service if it works. I mean, I have no affiliation with them at all, but it's handle.horse. Yes, there is an extension, a website extension, .horse, but handle.horse. you can enter any username and put your email in and they'll send you an email. So I've just set up an example here, monitoring the Gaming Careers handle, which I won't be losing, hopefully, but to check it daily. It's a useful little tool for people that are looking for the non-underscored version of their username. All right, what else did Elon announce? View count.
Well, yeah, view count is an interesting one. This was pretty recent, I think, right, Pete? Like the last week or two this came out?
Yeah, end of December.
Yeah, so you can now see a view count on, I think it's both your own tweets and everyone's tweets now. For how much impressions are on that tweet, which, by the way, this was something you could already see if you wanted to, if you have a professional account on Twitter, but now it's open to everybody and it's not a setting, it's just on by default, which is interesting. I think I've only seen mostly negative reactions to this from creators who are kind of worried about the numbers influencing their, you know, mental health. But I think the reason it was done probably is to make it easier to sell to brands and show like the value of a tweet in terms of not just likes, but also just the eyeballs on it. So I get that piece of it. But I have kind of mixed feelings on it. Do you have any thoughts after seeing this for about a week or so?
Well, Elon specifically said, actually, that the reason that they've done this to show how much more alive Twitter is than it may seem, as over 90% of Twitter users read but don't tweet, reply, or like. So I guess it would be classic Elon basically to have been called out that he was buying a dead platform. And then he wants to prove how alive it really is. I think from a creator's point of view, the point that you mentioned, mental health, like we've seen other platforms add the ability to remove likes and things. Instagram, you can set it so that you no longer see likes on pictures, on your own pictures, on anyone else's pictures. So there's certainly that side to it. I think it's a useful metric, but yes, it can get into the comparison territory where you're looking at friends or competitors and then wondering why you don't get as many views as they do. I mean, I certainly don't get 56 million views on my tweets like Elon does. but, you know, I've only had the blue check mark for a couple of weeks, so we'll see how much that influences things.
I do think, sorry, just to add in there, I think it is kind of cool to see the reach you can have sometimes, because even though you may get little engagement on the tweet, like seeing the view counts you can get off a simple tweet is pretty crazy. At least that was my initial reaction, even though, you know, I got like 1 to 2 likes on a certain tweet or something. I got hundreds and thousands of views. So it makes you realize that even though people aren't necessarily reacting and engaging with your stuff, they're still consuming it and seeing it. So that can kind of help you a little bit. If you're worried that no one's actually seeing your stuff, it can help you realize that it is being seen.
Yeah, we've had a comment in the chat from ZKnight777 who says, I believe it should be an option. And Elon has actually confirmed that it will become an option in the future. Somebody complained about the new Twitter design, views becomes too messy. He responded, we'll tidy up the aesthetics and add a setting to turn it off, but I think almost everyone will grow to like it. So it sounds like it's going to be on by default and there'll be a setting to disable it. That's better than giving no control at all. But again, I think this is mainly aimed at advertisers or even brands that want to sponsor content on Twitter. Like, think how good it is for your classic hardware brands that want to sponsor people. Previously, they've had to ask what their reach is and screenshots of like the Twitter analytics dashboard, but no actual way to verify it themselves. Whereas now they can go to your profile and see what your reach is without just looking at your follower account. Like, what's your actual active reach? Because you've got some accounts with millions and millions of followers that get 12 likes on a tweet and you just don't know what their actual real reach is in terms of their follower base that are interacting with their tweets. And this is a way to combat that. But I think probably worse for the creator at the end of the day because of mental health reasons. But we'll see. So far, I've managed to stay pretty mentally strong with my performing tweets and non-performing tweets. But we'll see how that changes in the future. Anything else? Oh, yeah. One last Elon Musk change that I thought was worth highlighting was that brands now have a square, or businesses rather, have a square profile picture. This obviously isn't breaking news, but it is really tilting when you go to your notifications tab. If you follow an account and you have notifications turned on, and then you have circle profile pictures for your accounts that you follow that are users, and then square ones for people that are streaming. For businesses, things like Twitch, Twitter.
That's right.
All the businesses like that.
Yeah, and actually in here, one thing we got to put in there too is the different colored check marks is a thing now. So you have... What is it? Gold, silver, and blue are the three that I've seen. And the gold is for like the brands. Silver or grayish is for, I think it's for politicians, Pete, from what I've seen so far. And blue is for either legacy or paid verified users with Twitter Blue, which I've seen a lot of questions on that in chat. I will tell you guys, I've not been able to get Twitter Blue because I've been blocked by Elon from getting it for changing my profile picture too many times. But Pete, I think, have you tested out the Twitter Blue stuff?
Yeah. So the UK was one of the countries that you could purchase Twitter Blue. I think UK and the States and a couple of other countries. So I wanted to get it, see if it helped in any way, if it, you know, increased reach or if it allowed any extra features. So far, it's been pretty good to edit tweets. Like, I quite often make a typo in a tweet and then have to delete it and rewrite it again. So you get the option to add like a countdown timer where you can edit the tweet for 5 minutes or something like that, and it will show the revision history. That's quite cool. I think I've seen a slight increase in reach, but I don't know if that's necessarily because the tweet's actually getting pushed out further or if it's just because my notification in another person's inbox will be in the verified tab, so maybe it stands out more. So that's maybe why I'm getting more interaction, things like that. So yeah, difficult to know at this stage. I don't think it's necessarily worth it. But if it's a platform that you use a lot, it's like the second biggest platform for me after YouTube. So it's worth, I think, any increase in reach or help that it will give, as well as the extra features. Just to mention one thing on the yellow check marks that you said, I saw somebody that was tracking how many changes they made to the badges, and there was like 5 different variations of the yellow check mark because people were calling it weak alert and all these kind of things. So they were like making it golder and golder, and it changed like 5 times in 24 hours. Somebody was tracking it. So, you know,
we had the official verified badge under the other verified badge. Yeah, is that still a thing?
No, I don't think so anymore.
Okay. Yeah, that happened too. This is interesting. One thing I'll say from my perspective is because of all, especially the verification changes, I feel like it's a little less exciting to get the verification badge now, which I think is something that happens on all platforms. Like, you saw that a lot of Twitch partners back in the day were kind of upset when that became easier to get, and then more people had partner. It's weird because like you want people to be allowed to get it, but then it kind of removes the excitement of having the badge if everybody can just pay for the badge. So I don't know if you guys feel the same in chat, but that's kind of how I felt just looking at it all from the sidelines a little bit.
Yeah, I understand that point of view. Like I think I applied for verification in 2021 or something. And then even going through the process, I realized that I'm probably not going to get it because you need to have like news articles written about you from newsworthy sites or something like that. So yeah, for me, it's not a vanity thing. I wanted to test the feature set and if it helped with reach and engagement and things like that. I don't mind paying for a platform if it's useful. And obviously I'm making money from gaming careers as a whole, so it's like a reinvestment. If YouTube charged for, I've heard Marcus Brownlee talk about this, if YouTube charged, you know, $8 a month or whatever Twitter is, and you got some cool extra features like faster processing or, you know, higher resolutions or things like that, I think I'd definitely pay for that. And it's kind of the same with Twitter. If the features are useful, I think it's worth it. And whilst this whole mess is going on, I think it's just entertaining to be a part of Twitter and see what's coming next, because who knows, we'll all have blue badges maybe in 2023, or a different platform will take over. Let's move on from Twitter and talk about the YouTube updates that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. So the first one I want to highlight, this is from a tweet of mine, is that I've noticed quite a few now different videos that have this new option in the settings cog on YouTube, which allows you to select a different audio track. And if anyone is watching now and keen to see what this looks like, go to any of Mr. Beast's recent 10 videos probably. He has the option to select a different audio track, and when you select one that isn't English, everything changes audio-wise. So it's voiced over by somebody that speaks that language. I don't think it's AI, I think it's actual voice actors. But the video is exactly the same. It still has the English subtitles and things like that. But now 12 different audio tracks for Mr. Beast videos, so they're obviously pushing them way outside of just English-speaking countries. And it's not just Mr. Beast. I've seen a few other chosen creators. It's not open to anyone or just open to certain subscribe accounts. But also in the past month, we've seen Ludwig be the very first person to be able to do this on a live stream. So for his chess boxing event, he had one live stream. So it was just one link, one YouTube video, but three different languages, three different audio tracks that were being streamed at the same time of different commentary in English, French and Spanish. And I haven't seen anything past this. And if you go and try and watch the VOD, it's not got all the three audio tracks anymore. So I had to confirm that it actually did happen because I didn't catch the event live. But this is pretty cool, Ben. I've got to be honest. If you think about the esports titles right now on Twitch, if you like watch the International or Worlds or any major tournament, there's like six or seven different channels by the official broadcaster for English, Russian, French, Spanish. YouTube is building a way to do that all on one stream, because obviously the video doesn't change. Maybe they will have to have different videos if you have like different casters being shown on screen for the different languages, but I'm sure YouTube is thinking about that as well. So yeah, I want to highlight that for anyone in chat that's thinking about the advantages of YouTube. Maybe this will come to all creators at some point in 2023.
Yeah, this feels like Z-Knight said in chat, this is a huge potential future aspect of both streaming and videos. I think videos seems like it's easier, right? Because you can just kind of transcribe or dub and form a language selector and just it'll change to whatever one is recorded. So I'm interested because Mr. Beast right now has a bunch of different channels, right? In different languages, I believe. So does this mean he'll eventually combine them into his regular channel and just have different language options? That would be huge just for how many more people we could reach with the same video. It would be exponentially way larger. But the streaming is a really interesting one to me, because I think, to my knowledge, this is like the first, at least content creator stream we've seen that has had different language options. And that is a huge, huge potential reach for live streams. Now, again, the logistics of doing this seem kind of crazy for a live event, because I think he had a commentator who was on each of the channels, right? In the different, or maybe multiple commentators.
Yeah,
for the chess boxing event. So that's not something that your average creator can probably coordinate for your daily gaming stream. But for special events, having this kind of support is huge to just increase the reach of it. So I think we'll see more of this. Even in my own testing on like TikTok, for example, I got like a 1.5 million view TikTok, but the vast majority of views on that are not English speaking countries. It's because people can watch it overseas and still understand it. So I think if people are able to access whatever their language is, they can reach more languages. That's going to be huge for just everybody's reach across the board with content.
Just think about one thing here for a second. Ludwig actually pushed out a feature with YouTube. Like, YouTube didn't do this in an announcement saying that it was coming to live streams or anything like that. They literally took one of their, you know, landmark streamers and let him test out a feature live on probably his biggest stream of the year. Like, that's so cool that they've got that interaction with big streamers on the platform. I don't think I've ever seen Twitch announce a feature for a specific stream through a specific streamer. So it's really cool that he's got that communication with the team at YouTube. I know that he's, you know, interviewed the CEO before, but it's cool that they're still investing in everything that he comes up with idea-wise. And yeah, I think this is going to be big. It's naturally going to roll out to videos before live streams. I hope it does roll out to all videos. I don't think necessarily I'll jump straight into it. Maybe there is a big audience of people wanting to learn about live streaming in a different language other than English. But it's certainly something to play with. I mean, I already subtitle all my videos in English, and then that helps with Google translating it into different languages. But to actually have a different audio track, I think that's a real game changer. And to answer your question about Mr. Beast and his multiple different YouTube channels, I think I heard him in his sort of podcast round that he did towards the end of the year with lots of different big podcasts. He said that this feature is basically going to mean that he just runs one channel, runs one Mr. Beast channel. He'll still have the gaming and all those separate channels, but all the languages will just run through this one channel because it's effectively doing the same, but all the view counts add up into one video. So yeah, really interesting in terms of that YouTube update. Any last thoughts, or do you want to move on to the next YouTube feature?
I mean, this is maybe the thing that I'm most excited to see this year if this continues to be built out. So we'll just keep an eye on it because, again, it's such in the infancy stage of this kind of thing. But I think with technology too and AI and everything else happening lately, there could be a lot happening here. So we'll see. But yeah, there's one more thing that I think you're probably pretty excited about, Pete, in terms really of YouTube excited. Updates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to share that?
Yeah. So I shared this through a tweet. I think it was from a YouTube video that I screen capped. But YouTube has added some estimates when you upload a video for how long it will take to finish processing in the different qualities. So for standard definition, high definition, and 4K, if you're uploading a 4K video. This has been such a pain point. It seems so random. And I know that it's because YouTube is processing probably tens of thousands of videos every single minute. But sometimes when you're rushing to get a video out for an embargo release or something like that, and you have no idea when 4K is going to be ready, and should I just release it in HD, but then maybe the first 500 viewers aren't going to get the full quality experience. Now we get some estimates, which is super handy. Again, I'd love to see a paid option to priority processing, because I think half the videos on YouTube have less than 10 views. It seems kind of weird that they have the same benefits as like a really big channel that's trying to rush out a video, but I guess that's fair as well. But yeah, really handy to know now how long you've got left for the video processing. So for anyone that's creating content on YouTube, you should see that actually, I think, across the board now. I think it's been fully rolled out. I haven't tested it, but I'll test it with my next upload, which should be very, very shortly. And I think that's it for YouTube updates. So we can probably move on to Twitch side of things, the winning vote for live streaming, where people will be live streaming next year.
And for now.
For now. First up, we've got a small update to follower emotes. Specifically, I think this was that follower emotes can now be used globally as long as you subscribe to the channel. So you can use anyone's follower emotes in any channel if you subscribe to the channel with the follower emotes. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, which is a really nice change, because it was weird when you had your follower emote slots and your regular emote slots, but you could only use the sub ones across the board and you couldn't use the follower ones. So you kind of wanted to save the good emotes for the sub tier. Basically, if you sub now, you get all the emotes everywhere, which is really nice. And you can still give some follower emotes to people as kind of a first step to join and follow the channel. So I think just a good change across the board. That's about it.
You take us to the next feature then. I think it's the, well, recap.
Yeah.
I think you can still access that.
Twitch recap came out as last. Is this the second or third year? I think second, maybe they've done this one. This is basically Spotify Wrapped that every platform is now doing on their own social media site. It was a little more detailed this year, I think, on Twitch recap for what we got. There was the viewer, streamer, and community side. Community was everything on Twitch all put together. viewer was your own personal viewer habits and what you watched and that kind of stuff. And if you streamed, it was data on, you know, how much you streamed and how much people watched your stuff. So this is pretty cool. And when it came out, I saw it shared a lot on Twitter and Discord and stuff. And it seems like just because the popularity of Spotify Wrapped, that every platform is going to start doing this. YouTube didn't quite do this, Pete, but they had like a general one for everything, I think, with like the top 10 creators and a blog post. So I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube adds this next year, though, because it's just so popular.
I wish YouTube would add this, or like literally any platform that you subscribe to, Netflix. I want to see, I love data and you love data as well, Ben. I know that Spotify Wrapped is one of my favorite days of the year. Just being able to ask all my friends and my family, let's have a look at your Spotify Wrapped, going through the new artists. It's good that Twitch do it. I really wish YouTube would do it as a viewer and as a creator. You do get it as a creator, but it's nowhere near as detailed as something like Spotify Wrapped or even Twitch's recap. But yeah, the Twitch one was pretty interesting. They made like a little graphic that you could easily share on different social medias that sort of highlighted hours watched and chat messages sent and things like that. Or if you're a streamer, it was, you know, how many hours you streamed, how many people sent messages in your chats, what the most used emotes were, all those kind of things. I think it will still be available probably until the next recap, but it might just be until the end of January or something. So if you haven't yet had a look, do go and check it out. And as Ben said, you have one as a viewer as well as a streamer. And I think as a moderator, you even got some special changes. Yep.
There's some viewer data for that too, yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to some news of a new highlighted message toggle that is starting to show for some streamers. Zach's tweeted out that there's a new experiment showing highlighted messages for people who join from a raid. So you'll be able to customize if you want that enabled or not, and then be able to see all the different viewers that have just joined from a raid, which is pretty nice. I really like this feature where you can highlight, you know, first time chatters and things like that. So the more customization options there, the better. But yeah, just a small bit of news. There's also some changes to display ads. I don't know if you saw this, Ben, as well. But they shared that especially people that are watching streams in theater mode, it's now no longer going to make the video player smaller. The display ad is just going to sort of slide up and not be as disruptive. But I haven't actually seen this myself yet. I don't know if you have in your hours of watching Twitch streams over the Christmas New Year.
I don't watch a lot of theater mode, I'll be honest, so I haven't noticed the change. But what I will say is it seems like, and chat, I want your opinion on this because it could just be me. I feel like I've seen a little less intrusiveness of Twitch ads and maybe more of these types of ads on there. Even when I'm on mobile, actually, they have like Amazon ads on the side. They don't stop the video. It just kind of pops on the side. So I definitely prefer that type of thing versus the mid-roll just stops all the action, right? I think that's gotten better. On the flip side, I've heard some comments that YouTube ads are getting more aggressive. I have premium, so I don't know if that's completely the case. But I'm curious for anyone here watching both YouTube and Twitch, how your ads experience has been. Has it been better, worse? Love to hear from you guys in chat too.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Twitch over the Christmas break, but I do use theater mode all the time. I think I even have like the better Twitch TV extension to always put me into theater mode whenever I go onto a stream, because I like watching content that way with no distractions. So yeah, it seems like a good update for me. But I didn't even know about the fact that this was also happening on mobile, the little display ads down the side. So interesting to see. We'll leave this article linked if people want to learn more about display ads. I mean, they're still paying absolutely nothing, but if they can keep making improvements, maybe more advertisers are going to jump on board. Also, update is to guest star. So if you now go to the guest star section of your dashboard on Twitch, you get greeted with a page that sort of describes what guest star is, why it's good for your channel in terms of engagement, collaboration, and it's much safer to use than, you know, trying to do this all in OBS, or so they say, as well as a little section of ideas, which is basically clips of people that are used, that have used guest star, let me get the name right, in creative ways. So you can sort of generate some ideas for your own show. And I don't know if they're adding to these over time. I imagine they probably are, but they've got six different videos of how people have used it so far. Have you experimented with guest star yet? I know that we've covered it a fair amount in the newsletter that we kept up over Christmas, but
yeah,
seems like quite a few new features there.
Yeah, I actually tried it out over the winter break for one stream. It's pretty cool. The thing that's weird about Guest Star is they made so much noise about Guest Star when it was in development, and then it came out and I've heard nothing about it ever since. I don't know what happened there. It's also tough because you can't really tell if someone's using it if you're watching a stream, because to the viewer, it just looks like it could be any other way to share a stream, right? Like a Discord screen cap or something. But you basically just send the link, or you add people in via chat with their usernames, and then they can join. You can kind of screen them and see a preview of their video and everything before they actually join. You can even assign your mods, I believe, to filter people and like go through and do sound checks and video checks, which is very cool if you're on a big channel. And I think you can add up to 6 people, I want to say. And you can add more and more as the stream goes. I think I got up to like 5 or 6 people joining the stream, at which point my stream kind of crashed. So I don't know if that was a thing from Guest Star or my PC was just trying to handle 6 different browser source cameras and did not like that. But I think the feature is kind of cool and it gives you a lot of freedom because it just, you just add in each camera as a browser source into OBS or your preferred platform. And then you can move stuff around. So I think it's nice to keep everything in Twitch, especially if you want to just add someone who's already part of your channel and they can do that pretty easily. I think we had 3 or 4 people join with camera and mics with no issues. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like an easier way to do something like we do for this stream here, Ben.
Yep.
So for this, we use Video Ninja, which is amazing, but certainly I don't think it's beginner friendly, and Guest Star is aiming to be beginner friendly. So yeah, it's exactly the same system, isn't it? It's joining via the browser, giving you a browser URL to add to your streaming software, and then it's super easy to rearrange and position things as you want to. Whereas doing something like Discord screen capture, which is how everyone used to do it, is really annoying when somebody drops out of a call and then you have to rearrange where everybody is and redrag, and it's not a good solution. So yeah, it's cool to see Guest Star. Obviously, we can't use it for this stream because we stream to YouTube, and I'm pretty sure you could probably try and do it, but you'd have to be live streaming on Twitch at the same time. Anyway, we're not going to try, but yeah, for anyone else, I'd love to hear from anyone in chat if they have used it and how successful it has been. Hopefully they iron out all of those crashing issues that you experienced. I think that's it for Twitch features from sort of the end of December. We don't want to go the whole way back. So the next platform we've got before we get to Tumblr, the big one, is Discord. Discord updates. So they did some updates, I think, for sort of like a Patreon member tier, Ben.
Yeah, this one, I don't know when we touched on this originally, Pete, but they've been talking about server memberships for a while. And I think they picked a couple servers as sort of tests for this system. But it seems like they're rolling out the server membership to a lot of people now. I have it on my personal server, which isn't that huge. So you guys might have it on yours too. But it basically is just like other platforms. You can pay a tier sub if you're part of the server and the creator gets a certain cut of that amount. I believe it's actually 90% on Discord, according to what I had in my dashboard, which is pretty cool. I have not actually been on a server yet that has turned this on. But if you guys have, I'm curious if you've seen use that up. Maybe you've tried it yourself if you're a streamer. I mean, it is always nice to have ways to monetize your content in general. Discord, I've not seen a whole lot of servers do it yet, but maybe that has potential with the next year here or so, Pete.
Yeah, we've got, if you actually go to the link that we'll add to the show notes, Marcus Brownlee for the MKBHD channel has set up, and he's one of the launch partners, basically. His server of over 82,000 members is just a place to talk tech, media, and everything in between. And now he has added the server subscription. So $2.99 a month, they get a premium channel, some behind the scenes, you know, whatever gets shared in the premium channel or multiple premium channels. But he's one of the launch partners. So maybe it'll be a good experiment to join that server, pay for it for a month and see exactly what they get. My personal opinion is it's probably going to be the kind of thing where it's down to the creator, what they do with the subscription and how much it costs. And the value is going to be determined by how much you enjoy whatever is paywalled. So yeah, $2.99 could be well worth it if you're getting early access to videos and things like that. But if it's just a channel to talk to the main creator and they're never in there, then it's probably not worth it. So we'll see. But worth exploring for sure. There's also been something else I think that you've linked about Discord drops. I'm going to leave you to this one because I haven't even read it.
Yeah, no. I thought this was just interesting because this was kind of a sneaky thing they added. So we know how we have Twitch drops, right? And I think even YouTube has drops now where you watch a certain amount of stuff and you get a little in-game reward. So Discord actually added this for Halo Infinite, which I think is the only one they've done so far. But the way that you unlock the drop for the game was to screen share your game in Discord to at least one other person for 15 minutes, which was just interesting to me. I guess maybe Halo Infinite, like this seems like a way to get people to play the game more so than just watch the game, which is pretty interesting. And it's the first one I've seen on Discord. So maybe we'll see more of this in the next year or so. Seems like a lot of platforms are seeing the success of the drop system that Twitch has and trying to make their own version. And Discord is kind of cool because it's not the same as just watching a stream. You can actually kind of incentivize people to play something. So I wouldn't be surprised if this continues, if the Halo one did well. We'll see how that kind of comes in the next year or so.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of doing a drop, isn't it? By actually releasing the drop when you stream the game to at least one other person versus Twitch's way of doing it, which is like watching one of their partner streamers for a certain number of hours, you might get a drop. But clearly the partnership is better from Halo's point of view if they're encouraging people to buy and play the game to get a certain drop rather than just watch a game, which is also good advertising. But yeah, I think we're going to see much more from drops and game launches doing things like this. But Discord are thinking about smart ways of, you know, being in a unique position with their sort of community-based streaming, where it's to smaller groups of people rather than the big 10,000 plus people that you can stream to on the other platforms, but just playing with mates and streaming to 5-10 people. And we saw that with the launches of all of their games that they did towards the end of last year. But if you're subscribed to Discord Nitro, you can now like play games with friends in servers. I think they've got like 8 or 10 games now. So certainly one to follow. I don't think I would necessarily thought Discord was going to really push down this sort of streaming to friends route, but it seems like they are, and it seems like they're being successful with it. So definitely one to monitor. And as promised, the last platform updates that we're going to cover are Tumblr. Now, I've got to admit, Ben, I have never been on Tumblr or had a Tumblr account in my life. I don't know anyone that has a Tumblr account or has been on Tumblr. There could well be thousands of people subscribed to the Gaming Careers channel that are massive fans of Tumblr, and I've just been missing out all these years. But have you ever been on it? Have you ever used it?
I mean, I've been on it here and there when I have to like grab an image or something. When was Tumblr the most popular? I feel like this is an ancient platform. Am I wrong about this, Pete? I don't know, because I'm the same way. I've never really used Tumblr that much, but I don't want to talk down on it if it's still pretty popular.
Yeah, well, let's cut right to it. Tumblr have announced that they are introducing Tumblr Live, which is effectively live streaming, but it's mobile, so it's vertical format. So they're releasing it through the iOS and Android apps, US only, which we see quite often with big platforms testing out new features. But for the people that use Tumblr and have the app installed on their phone, they're going to be able to live stream either the front selfie camera or outside and switch between them and even monetize their live streams. So they're dipping their toe in. I wonder if it will ever be a place where Twitch streamers will end up getting partnership and moving across to. I don't know, but we have to cover all live streaming news on this show, Ben. And Tumblr's news is certainly within that. Any thoughts from the initial announcement?
Okay, so my first question about this is gaming live streams, right? Because that's the thing that we talk a lot about, which they do call out specifically in the blog post that explains the feature. The interesting thing to me is, from what you've said, it seems like it's only mobile streaming, right? With the front and back camera. There's no sort of stream key that you can plug into OBS to do an actual full broadcast. So I guess if they want gaming live streams, it's going to be more of like tabletop kind of stuff, or what you see on TikTok, which is someone literally just sets a camera down and points it at the TV screen of what they're playing and does it that way. So that could be an option. One thing I didn't see about this, do you know if it's actually launched yet, or are they just kind of announcing when it's, or before it comes? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone linking a Tumblr live stream, but maybe it is already live. You would think that when they do the announcement, they want to create as much buzz as possible and people will be able to actually go live at the same time. But like you said, they mention gaming live streams. They don't even just mention gaming live streams. It's the first example of what you can do with Tumblr Live. And they list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 different things that you can do. I mean, most of them are a bit meme-y. But the first one is gaming live streams. So they clearly want to think of Tumblr as the place to watch and do gaming live streams. But whilst it's mobile only, I just don't really see that being realistic. But I'm open-minded, you know.
We need more competitors in this space. YouTube becoming a major player in the live streaming space has been probably the best thing for us content creators. It's pushing Twitch to develop new features and really think about their platform. So I'm all on board. I'd rather it be someone like Tumblr, who have actually managed to keep a successful site running for a number of years, than it to be, you know, the classic that we hear of all the time. One senior developer trying to build a Twitch competitor overnight that just doesn't ever succeed. So at least they have some money behind them. And hopefully
not gambling money, hopefully.
Exactly, not gambling money. Well, we don't know. We don't know enough about Tumblr and their background. We haven't done the research, Ben. Let's not jump to any conclusions. They could be owned by stake.com. We don't know yet. No, I'm only joking, but we'll see with the Tumblr. There is also a FAQ that they put up with some more information. And there were some really specific parts that I wanted to highlight. They've already thought about DMCA. So there's already a DMCA process for copyright holders to flag potentially, I'm going to lose this word, violative content. Is that right? I'm struggling with my English. It's late here.
Volative?
Is that
volatile? Do they make a word?
I don't know. We're going to have to define that later. Somebody with an English major can come and correct us. Anyway, they've already got a DMCA process in place, which is something that took Twitch like 6 years after launching their website, and it was way too slow. So they're launching with that. So they're clearly thinking from the ground up about the legal action that they will have to take. They even encourage people to play royalty-free music whilst they're streaming rather than, you know, the major hits. The other one that I wanted to point out is Blast, which just sounds to me like Twitch Boost. I'll read out the answer. What is Blast? Blast is a premium product that allows you to be featured for everyone to see. It's the fastest way to grow your audience and receive views and engagement. That's Twitch Boost, isn't it? And that they're launching with that as a feature.
Clearly, it was one of the standout features of Twitch. So I understand why they took that one, because it worked so well on Twitch. Sorry, it's been a while, Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, this makes sense to a degree. The weird thing to me is that this is just on mobile. I shouldn't say weird. I couldn't test it out looking around on the site. And I don't, as of yet, I haven't installed the Tumblr app. So maybe at some point we'll check it out. So the Boost thing is interesting. We'll kind of see. I don't know what that looks like in the UI, but it does seem like just the server boost or the channel boost stuff from Twitch. And then I think they have a monetization feature as well, yep, similar to other platforms.
Yeah, so they've got a question about monetizing, and I'll read that out as well. Monetizing through Tumblr Live relies on creators collecting diamonds, which you can cash out for earnings. Users can purchase credits, which can then be used to send a wide variety of virtual gifts to their favorite creators. When you receive a gift, you're also awarded diamonds. Wait, so viewers buy credits, use credits to buy gifts. Gifts also give diamonds to the streamer, and then diamonds can be exchanged or cashed out for earnings. That seems like a five-step process just to give a streamer a tip. Maybe they should just go with one thing. You buy bits. Bits is money. But it sounds like that, but it's gifts, and then gifts get converted to diamonds. Anyway, we'll see when this launches. But the interesting thing here is that they're launching live streaming. They've got monetization straight away. They've thought about DMCA straight away. So they're clearly taking this seriously. They've announced it right on the new year. So maybe it'll be a platform. We will keep... We should write down a list of things that we're going to check at the end of this year, Ben. This should be one. What has happened to Tumblr Live? It's either something that we talk about every single week because they're rolling out features at the rate that YouTube and Twitch are, or we're going to laugh about how it's dead in the water and it was actually Glimish all along.
I think I've got bigger hopes for Tumblr than Glimish, but we'll see. Fingers crossed on the Tumblr team, because like you said, more competition is good. So Godspeed to the whole team. Let's see what they come up with.
Right, let's... let's get on to our predictions for 2023. So I thought it'd be quite fun if Ben and I wrote down some questions for each other. We haven't seen these, by the way. That's why I'm getting my book out rather than looking at the shared notes that we have in a Google Doc. Some questions about our predictions for 2023. And Ben, there's a high chance that in our questions, we've asked each other the same question. So to counter that, I'm going to ask the first question, because I think this is the one that you might have written down to ask me as well. Who do you think is going to be the biggest streamer move in 2023? Who is it, and which platform are they moving to?
Okay, I did not have this question, actually. So that's we don't good. Have to cross that one off the list from my list. Biggest streamer to move. Okay, to me, though, this is a weird question, because I almost feel like YouTube's kind of at the point now where they don't necessarily need to move a lot of more people with the way they've been going. So I think there'll be less moves overall in 2023 than in 2022. If anybody, it's going to be from Twitch to YouTube. I don't see people moving from YouTube to Twitch really yet. Or, you know, Facebook's kind of out of the conversation right now. So if I had to pick like one YouTube streamer who would come over here, or sorry, one Twitch streamer who would come over here, I mean, if they get somebody like Summit or Lyric or something that's like an OG Twitch streamer, that would be a huge move. I'm trying to think, because YouTube really likes the brand friendly kind of stuff from what I've seen, or like that, you know, the groups of creators that go together, like OTV and that kind of thing. And I believe Pokimane's already signed in, so she's not an option. But I'm trying to think of, I don't follow as many top creators as I used to. But yeah, I'll say like Summit, for example. That would be a huge move that they might shell out for, and we'll see. We'll see if that happens.
I think just to answer your point there, I agree. Twitch seems more focused. If a big streamer gets offered a big contract to go to YouTube, Twitch doesn't seem like they really battle for them anymore. They're more focused on just trying to grow another medium-sized streamer into that whole figure. I think Ludwig, when he left, he talked about this in a couple of podcasts about how Twitch didn't really go to bat for him. Like, YouTube seemed really sad when he turned down their offer. So yeah, I like it. I like the Summit would definitely be a seriously big move because he's one of the OGs. But we'll see. We will see. What's your first question for me, Ben?
All right. I've got, I've got one spicy one, some other ones. Okay. First one here. Do you, in 2023, or maybe ever, do you think we'll see live stream viewership go back to like peak COVID levels? So when I looked, I think it peaked in April 2021. And right now we're about 70% of the number that we were then with viewership. So do you think that we'll get back up to that point with people watching live streams, or have we kind of hit the peak at this point? What's your thought?
That's a good question. And it's difficult because we don't know how much the pandemic inflated everything. So it was obviously, that's like 1 month after the lockdown here in the UK. And I think it was similar sort of times in America where everyone was working from home basically, and everybody wanted to stream or watch streams. So both viewership and number of people streaming's peaked. I think it could do, but I don't know if it will necessarily be in the same format. And it depends if we're going to start counting platforms like TikTok, Instagram, these vertical video formats that now are building live stream. If we start to also count them in the overall number of people live streaming to different platforms, then I think it still could peak. But in terms of just on like Twitch and YouTube, I still think probably the answer is yes, because I think more and more large scale productions are going to happen. And then you're going to start to have multiple productions per year that you really want to tune into. You know, things like the YouTuber boxing events that are currently pay-per-view, but you can imagine if those are live streamed just to somebody's YouTube channel, they're going to generate huge amounts of interest of people watching their streams. So yeah, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say, yes, we are going to see a higher peak. Whether or not that's in 2023, I don't know, but I think it'll be in the next few years.
Yeah. Okay. So I mostly agree. I don't think it'd be in 2023, but I think like 25, 26, especially as tech rolls out to people and people from other languages and countries can access that stuff, that'll be the huge shift. So, okay. What's your second question for me or for us?
Okay. Well, good. We haven't crossed the same question twice yet. So, I wrote down four just in case we did clash on that first one. So I'm just trying to think which one should I. Well, let's go down that route. I talked a little bit about the vertical live platforms. Do you think that this year it will be a necessary growth tactic to co-stream to a vertical platform at the same time as your main 16x9 platform?
For new creators, for new creators, it already is, I think, to a degree, or at least making content on those platforms. Live streaming is a little weird because it is gated right now. So on TikTok, you have to have 1,000 followers. And then get a stream key. And there's a lot of hoops to jump through. You can't just do it right away. But I think that is probably the best way to grow your stream right now is on vertical stuff. But I think it's most important for new creators, and it will become more important for established creators too. I think they haven't all kind of caught on yet, but I've seen more and more slowly doing it. Like Ninja is the biggest example, right? I think he just cut all contracts and is streaming on every platform at the same time. So I think we'll see more of that from people. I don't know that they'll I think they'll probably stick to either Twitch or YouTube and do TikTok and Instagram. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see the Pokimanes and Tims and everybody else jumping in and doing the same thing, because it's worked really well for a lot of creators. So yeah, I think it is important and essential for growing creators at this point.
I love it. Great answer. And since you've been testing TikTok out yourself, I consider you the expert in this conversation about vertical video. So hit me with your second question.
Okay. I'll save the spiciest one to last. But in the last couple months and weeks, we've seen a lot of AI discussion with like ChatGPT and avatars and all this stuff. Do you think AI will change live streaming or gaming in the next year in a big way, or is it still kind of too far out?
I have not considered AI for live streaming at all. I think it's going to be a huge tool for content creation in general. Things like generating ideas, help with titles, those kind of things. I think people are already exploring using AI to help with those kind of things. For live streams, I think outside of like coming up with ideas as to what you do on a live stream, I'm sort of struggling to think of how it could help right now. But that's the great thing about AI, isn't it? You don't think it's going to be useful, and then something like ChatGPT comes out and it is absolutely unbelievable what it can do and the kind of outputs that it can create. So it's a good question. I don't know if in 2023 it's going to help with live streaming, but I'm going to put my neck out on the line and say it's going to be really big and really helpful for content creation as a whole.
Yeah, I feel like live streaming is a little bit untapped for AI stuff yet, but it's got a lot of potential and I've seen some really crazy examples already. So we'll keep an eye on that one for sure. Okay, what's your third question for us here, Pete?
Certainly not a spicy one, more of a fun one. How many microphone reviews do you think I will do on the Gaming Careers channel this year?
Oh, man. Oh, this is tough. I mean, there's so many microphones out there that kind of fill a certain niche now. Is it becoming saturated? Like, have we hit the breaking point? Or, I don't know, like, are we out of innovation? I'm going to say six.
I'll give you a hint. The last two years have been 3 and 4.
Okay, maybe that's too ambitious. I'm going to say 2. I don't know. I feel like microphones are pretty good at this point, but maybe there's some new crazy microphone that comes out and then everybody clones that microphone. So I'm going to say 2.
Microphones have been pretty good for like 20 years. We're both using a really old microphone, but they still find ways to create new microphones the whole time. I mean, 2 is a good guy. I can't discuss anything that I've heard on the grapevine. I'm under NDA about anything anyway. But my initial guess would be Elgato made an XLR microphone last year and USB microphones the year before. Like, are they going to add to that lineup? I don't necessarily know anything about that, but I would speculate it probably not, because they have good USB offerings and good XLR offering now. But you never know. Yeah. Companies like making money, and you can make money if you create new products every year. But I certainly always review their products. And if you look at the traditional microphone companies, most of them have like a flagship XLR and a flagship XLR plus USB version of a microphone now. Except for the Blue Yeti, you know, maybe we're going to see the Blue Yeti 2023 version. It's going to become the mainstay. I really hope not.
Okay, microphones are funny because you have like gaming tech companies that want to make this kind of mic, and then you have the Shure and the Rode that want to make the gaming mic, and they've kind of all done that to a degree at this point. So I feel like we'll see a lot of iterations and new versions of the same mic, like a 2.0 kind of thing, versus like a totally new mic design. That's my guess, but you know, maybe somebody has something crazy it's not done yet, so we'll see.
What Ben doesn't know is I'm dropping 4 microphone reviews in January. No, I'm joking. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up with a joke like that. All right, Ben,
I just bought this mic.
Hit me with your spicy McSpicy.
Yeah, spicy one. Okay, I gotta make it interesting.
Is this gonna get me canceled?
Could if you don't answer it right, Pete. There is a right answer. Okay, will any live streaming platform shut down this year? That is the big spicy question that I had to put in.
What do you consider as a live streaming platform?
I mean, anything, right? Like, it could be Tumblr. It could be, and it, specifically, it could be like a subset. If you think like Facebook gaming, but not Facebook, right? That would count. Or TikTok gaming or something like that. Is there anything you think is just going to be too much, doesn't make any sense anymore, got to cut it? Any mixers coming up this year?
What was Trainwreck's platform called again? The one that's owned by Stick? I think there's a high chance that that could that doesn't exist by this time next year. Yeah. I'm going to be optimistic about Tumblr. I want that to become in the same running at least as Facebook. It'd be great if we had like a four horse race. Even if it's two juggernauts and then two underdogs, it's good for us to have more choice. And maybe it becomes like the platform that a certain type of streamer streams to, you know, like a gambling streamer and the stake.com one. But no, I don't think any of the major ones will shut down. Facebook, I just don't know enough about the changes that they're making. Like we mentioned that they've kind of canned the Facebook gaming, but you can still find it. So I'm skeptical to think that they would close down. They've just got what seems like infinite money to keep any project going if it takes money away from Google and Amazon, their main competitors. So I think Facebook will still be around. I think Tumblr will still be around. I just think Trainwreck's platform and any new startups that are just like three developers are probably not going to be around by this point next year.
Yeah, that's fair. Facebook is a weird one because if it weren't being backed by Facebook, I'd say that would be the choice. But I think they also committed to like a couple of years of the whole revenue split thing. So they've got some commitment on that. I think DLive might be in trouble though, Pete. Do you remember DLive? Oh
God, I haven't thought about DLive for a couple of years probably now. Wasn't PewDiePie streaming exclusively on DLive?
He was pretty much the only reason people heard about DLive. And I don't think he does that anymore. So if anybody here listens and you watch, you stream on DLive or you have been on DLive, then I apologize. But I think that platform's in trouble. Got to be honest.
All right. Well, that sums up our predictions for 2023. Be keen to hear your guys' thoughts in the chat and any comments on the video after the fact. YouTube has actually made a change to how live streams work since the last time we live streamed a podcast. I think we now no longer need to leave these live streams as unlisted. They can exist because they have their own tab now in the channel page. So it's not going to clog up the nice aesthetic thumbnails of the Gaming Careers YouTube channel. Videos now live separately to live streams. So this video will actually not be unlisted after it finishes. It will just be regular pushed out to subscribers if they want to watch it. But I don't think anybody on YouTube uses the subscribe tab anymore. They just view what gets fed to them by the algorithm. And that is probably where we're going to go in 2023. It's all going to be AI and algorithms. And, you know, you have to abuse all these growth hacks to be able to even get three viewers. We'll see. Anyway, again, I want to reiterate my thanks to everybody that has stuck with us and tuned in live for the very first return stream of 2023. And anyone that's listening on the podcast after the fact, it's great to have you, and thank you for being so patient with Ben and I as we've taken this long break towards the end of last year. But we are back, and we are back on a schedule, and we have some plans in place if one of us isn't available to be able to get a guest on. So really, fingers crossed, we can keep growing this show and keep chatting with you guys every week, because I know I'm speaking on behalf of Ben as well, but we both really enjoy it. And on that note, I think we'll end the stream. So thanks again for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.